pitch meeting, be with one of the top veterans in their industry like Will. But I wasn't going to say no to that opportunity. And in many ways, I believe that the fact that Will was involved from the very start, that he gave me those nuggets about where to find information, about a safe note and an advisory agreement, led to even more emotional investment in me and the company. As I went on to pitch additional investors and advisors, I soon learned one of the most important elements was what Alex had done for me in the very beginning. With his initial email, he created this fear of missing out in each of his contacts. Now, while you may be familiar with that phrase in terms of sitting at home, watching your friends' social media feeds, and feeling completely left out, fear of missing out, FOMO, in the venture world is something a little different. Creating FOMO in an investor means they are more likely to invest because they don't want this potential unicorn to pass them by. You make them want to be the one who saw the seeds of greatness early on and didn't miss the boat. It is a powerful tool to use. Creating fear of missing out requires a delicate balance. You don't want to oversell what you are doing, but you want to approach people with a sense that you are going to be hugely successful with or without them. That you are headed places and they can get on board and enjoy the success, or walk away and realize later what a great opportunity they passed up. This is applicable whether you are building your own company or working for someone else. By talking about what you are doing and what is happening in your company with passion and conviction, it makes the listener realize that they will absolutely miss the boat if they don't join the team, buy your product, attend your conference, or whatever you are asking of them. Talk it up. Even before I officially launched Mogul, I was talking about it with everyone I knew. Please don't make the mistake of keeping your idea to yourself. You have to talk about it with everyone. Your best friends, your family, the person on the subway next to you, the person in the board meeting. Why? For one, it helps you hone your pitch. You'll quickly develop your elevator pitch once you go on for too long and see people's eyes glaze over. You'll determine what point about your project makes people light up with excitement. You'll discover what follow-up questions they have, and those questions will allow you to further refine your product. I soon established a pattern with each of my pitches. I focused on two things. One, the storyline of momentum, detailing the lifelong passion and unending dedication that led me to Mogul. And two, the numbers, showcasing the traction that we had already received so that no investor could ever say this platform was not needed. At the time that I pitched Will, we were reaching 1 million women across 130 countries. I gave him access to our analytics so he could see for himself. The numbers were able to prove to investors not just the potential that was within this company, but the fact that there was a proven audience for this site, and they were hungry for its content and community. One of the reasons that I built Mogul before pursuing seed money is I was aware of the fact that men are often backed for the potential of their companies, while women have to prove they can deliver. I knew that I had three strikes against me going into these meetings. One, I'm a female. When I started Mogul, less than 10% of all startups had a female founder. Men were 60% more likely to get funding than women. In fact, of the $50.8 billion that venture capital firms invested from 2011 to 2013, just $1.5 billion, or 3%, went to companies with a woman CEO. Two, I'm a minority. The only other group more passed over than women is minorities. 83% of venture-backed companies consist of founders who are entirely Caucasian. Three, Mogul was in the media sector, one of the most competitive spaces in venture. The fact that I had already built a platform reaching a million people allowed me to showcase the demand. I was able to show the numbers and stand firm on this being a needed product because the metrics validated it. But I had one more secret weapon. I had coded the platform myself. Even if investors were on the fence about the opportunity, that fact pushed them over the edge. To them, it showed that I was different. I was fully invested in this company, and I was willing to get involved in every single aspect of it. Consequently, no one wanted to miss the chance to partner with us. Never underestimate the power of passion to persuade people of what you are doing. Show people how completely invested you are, whether pitching your own company or trying to spread the word about someone else's. Live, breathe, and believe in your product. Others will follow. Make the professional more personal. There was one more thing about my pitch that made me stand out. The story of Mogul was personal. At the end of the day, venture capitalists don't invest in products. They invest in stories and people. It's important to give them a reason to care. Of course, I shared the personal story of my family and how they were my inspiration, but I also made sure to share the stories of the women reaching out to me and what access to information, opportunities, and education could do for women across the globe. Whenever I pitched Mogul, most of the people in the room were men. Just 4% of venture capitalists are women. But I didn't let that change my personal story or how I communicated our mission. I focused on how Mogul was becoming a platform for all women, a way for women from all walks of life and cultures to come together and support each other, ultimately being able to accomplish together way more than they could have on their own. This storyline connects all of us. Mogul was not a company that was solely focused on a business plan, but on a mission. And a mission is always personal. It is always about people. Yes, my goal was to make money for investors, but my personal goal was to take the profits that Mogul generated and use them for further social impact. The end goal was not money, it was impact. Being personal has always served me well, and it extends outside of the boardroom. I do not believe that your personal life and professional life have to be completely separated. In fact, I think having that perspective is detrimental to your career trajectory. First of all, my colleagues inevitably become my friends. Again, I don't believe in networking. I believe in finding like-minded individuals with whom you can truly collaborate. Collaboration isn't a business relationship. It is a creative partnership. It is a meeting of the minds that allows each of you to build off of the other's idea. This allows you to create something that never could have been realized alone. With this kind of collaboration, you ultimately build a friendship based on the foundation of trust that you develop over time. Soon, a conversation over business problems can morph into a conversation on relationship problems or issues at home. When you trust someone in one area of life, it is natural to begin to trust him or her in other areas as well. When you learn how to comfortably mesh who you are professionally with who you are in your personal life, you are allowed to be the most authentic version of yourself. And that is your best self always. We had a young team member at Mogul who had just graduated from college, and she was very, quote-unquote, church and state when it came to her professional life and personal life. In other words, keeping them separate. When she met clients outside work, it was all work, no play. But I knew that in her personal life, she was very funny and relaxed. I'd seen that side of her several times. And I knew that if she revealed that aspect of her personality with her clients, she would win them over even more. When you are who you truly are at all times, in all situations, it allows other people to see your true self and what you, and only you, bring to the world. It is contagious, attractive, and refreshing. Always. I've heard it said that Albert Einstein is one of the most famous scientists in the world, not just because he was the best in his field, but because he was funny and memorable in addition to being brilliant. He was truly himself, which led him to become one of the most recognized scientists to this day. When you bring your personal into your professional, it allows people to connect with you more readily. Let me give you an example. Shortly after Mogul was launched, we were awarded the 2014 Ivy Innovator Award, and I was invited to LA to receive the award and speak briefly about the founding of Mogul. The reception was to take place at a film premiere at the Landmark Theater. I had arrived at my hotel and planned to work on my speech when S reached out, asking if I could come pick up some stuff that I had left at his apartment. It was just a few months after our breakup. I told him I was in LA, and he seemed annoyed. Because of that, I couldn't concentrate on writing my speech. When I arrived at the theater, I had no speech in hand, and it turned out that the publicist present wanted me to escort the star of the film, Daniel Radcliffe, down the red carpet. I was shocked and honored to be Harry Potter's date for the evening, but was like a deer in the headlights as paparazzi immediately swarmed in front of us, shouting and taking photos of us hugging. You can only imagine what S thought after that. As we headed up the stairs after the red carpet to wait backstage for when they would announce the award, I saw one of my business school classmates. "Chrissy," I shouted, shocked to see someone I knew from Boston out in LA. We caught up on what we had been doing since graduation, and I saw her hesitate a bit before she shared, "Actually, I just broke up with someone about a month ago, and I'm still kind of getting back on my feet." I listened to her story and couldn't get over the parallels to my story with us. When she finished talking, I said, "Oh, Chrissy, I just went through the exact same thing," and told her the story of both Mogul and S. We had not been close at HBS, no more than acquaintances, but because of Chrissy's willingness to be open with me, we connected on a really deep level. She is now one of my dearest friends because we took the time to relate personally and support each other. When I walked out to accept the award, I saw her out in the audience, beaming with kindness and support. I still had no speech written, but seeing Chrissy spurred me on and reminded me of how strong we both were. A wave of calm set in, and as I stood before several hundred people hanging on my every word, I told my personal story of Mogul, the promises I had kept, the personal sacrifices I had made, the long nights we had seen, our vision just ahead. I spoke with passion and conviction, knowing that it was much more powerful because I'd brought all of me into the story of Mogul, my personal commitments and sacrifices, as well as our mission and goals. The audience exploded with applause. How to be personal in a professional setting. Obviously, it is not always an appropriate time to share your story about a recent breakup. But too often I've seen people hold back aspects of themselves that could serve them in their professional lives. And when connecting with potential collaborators, sometimes it is your shared personal experiences that can really bond you, allowing for a much closer relationship than you ever would have had if you kept something to yourself. So if you're in a setting where you are one-on-one with someone or in a small group, if you're out to dinner or at a social event, take the time to consider whether this might be a chance for you to go a bit deeper and share something personal that you would never think to share in a board meeting or visiting them in their offices. Doing so could be an accelerator for your relationship, leading to more trust and more collaboration down the road. Remember to stretch. To be successful, you have to trust that you have what it takes to accomplish any goal, and allow yourself to aim high and reach far. One of my favorite investors has always been Gary Vaynerchuk. I'd been a fan of his ever since he was vlogging about wine back in the early 2000s and grew his family's wine business from $3 million to $60 million. Since that time, he has become a true hitmaker, becoming an early investor in companies like Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. Of course, I wanted him to join Mogul. To have him on board would truly be a dream come true, and a signifier that Mogul was garnering widespread support. I had previously met the founders of Makerskit at Techstars and had written about them and their company for Forbes. Months later, after launching Mogul, I discovered that Gary was an investor in their company, and though I didn't think it likely that they would agree, I reached out to see if they might be willing to put me in contact with him. And they said yes. The path of reciprocity came through yet again. Before I knew it, they had connected me with Gary and his right-hand man, Phil Toronto, via email. I met with Phil in front of Shake Shack in Madison Square Park. He talked about their fund, only further convincing me that they would be perfect investing partners, as I talked to him about Mogul. About a week later, it was time to pitch Gary himself. I was sitting nervously in the conference room with Phil when Gary walked in. I stood up and introduced myself and then launched into my pitch. About 1 minute in, Gary said, "I know Mogul's a winner. You're a winner. I'm in." I was stunned. He'd literally been in the room for not more than a minute. I didn't know what to do, and so I tried to continue with my pitch, just in case he needed further convincing. Gary laughed and made it clear he didn't need to hear it. Phil had already filled him in, and he liked what he had heard within the first minute of my pitch. He wanted to be a part of it. The entire meeting lasted less than 10 minutes. I walked out of there completely shocked and elated, and I had to confirm with Phil several times that that had really meant a yes. To achieve success and significance, you have to go after those stretch opportunities. I didn't think the Maker's Kit team would say yes when I asked them to introduce me to Gary. I didn't think Gary would immediately say yes when I pitched him, but I didn't let that stop or discourage me. It pays to believe that with all your hard work, the best scenario could happen. It often does. Later, after we achieved significant momentum in our funding, I was able to establish certain standards when I met with potential investors. No phone numbers were exchanged. No meetings were held in hotels or bars. Instead, I invited them for tea between the hours of 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. at our mogul headquarters, which was advantageous because then they would be able to meet the team and see how passionate we were. This enabled me to go into these meetings from a position of strength and know that investors who took the time to come to our offices were really excited about the possibility of investing. Finding investors. Ideally, when reaching out to a potential investor in your company, you should use a warm connection. If you are just starting out in your fundraising endeavors, you can go on LinkedIn as a first step and search for angel investor within people's titles. Then review what kind of companies they invest in to ensure they are interested in your space. Next, look to see whether you have any mutual connections listed. If so, reach out to that mutual connection to see if they might facilitate a meeting. Angel investors will sometimes invest in a company after just one or two meetings and often have connections to the venture capital world that you wouldn't have otherwise. As an investor once wisely told me, you beg, beg, and beg the angels. Then, once you've gotten yeses and significant dollars have been committed, that's when you go to VCs. Build a team you can trust. While I was pursuing investors, I was also working to expand the team at Mogul. Given our growth, I knew that the idea of me working alone in my bedroom for 2 or 3 years was not realistic. Although I loved being a part of every single aspect of Mogul, I would be holding it back if I didn't enlist others to come join me and help. Mogul truly started as a family endeavor. It was built in my two-bedroom apartment that I shared with my brother, David, maybe 3 years younger than me, but as mentioned, he was the tech prodigy in our family and a highly sought-after technology leader in New York City. So when the platform would sometimes crash in its first few weeks, given all the users, he would quickly get it back up and running. Most websites have a team of engineers on board by the time they reach 1 million people. That wasn't the case for us, and I'm not sure where Mogul would be if David hadn't stepped in when our users and I needed him. An incredible brother and mentor, David was a constant source of support and a sounding board during those first few months while Mogul continued to scale. At this time, as a serial entrepreneur, with several successful books and ventures under his belt, David had been considering founding his next startup. But as he watched Mogul thrive at levels that we never could have anticipated, it was clear to all of us that he was already a part of the team, stepping in daily to lead the platform through these viral levels. We never even had a conversation about it. David was one of our founders, and is now our brilliant Chief Product Officer and Chief Technology Officer. Some people say they can't work with family, but David and I have always had a close relationship. We don't recall ever even having a fight throughout our lives, to this day. One of the most beloved members of our team, David has a calm, wise, philosophical manner that others adore, and that commands great respect across all the divisions and team members within Mogul. And with that, we are able to communicate with just a few words, which is pretty handy when you are in important meetings and someone throws a curveball. We are always on the same page, and I trust him implicitly. He so deeply believes in our mission, in what we are doing. He's exactly the kind of exceptionally brilliant person you want on your team. Then, about 3 months after Mogul's launch, I met Nemisha, a graduate student in marketing at NYU, originally from India, who was interested in an internship at Mogul. We agreed to meet for an interview at Argo Tea in Columbus Circle, since I was still otherwise working from my bed. I was 27 years old, and when Nemesha walked in, I was convinced that she was in her 30s. Her experience was extensive. She had raised millions of dollars for various organizations, and she spoke with a level of maturity and confidence that superseded my own. In fact, she had offers to join multiple well-established companies. But against the warnings of her professors, she too believed in Mogul's mission deeply, and wanted to join our team over the others. I felt confident that she would be a great partner, and we very much needed the additional support in these months while Mogul was exploding. I offered her the opportunity on the spot. What I soon learned was that Nemesha is not afraid to share what is on her mind. From the get-go, she always seemed to have a differing opinion from everyone else. In those early days, when I was developing my skills as a manager, I found her perspective challenging to counter, and sometimes felt trepidation to bring something up. But I soon found that her pattern of disagreeing with something I proposed about 90% of the time led us to really hash out each issue, think about the pros and cons, and engage in an important debate that ultimately led us to the right path forward each time. I'm not sure where Mogul would be if I hadn't had Nemesha there every step of the way, questioning our decisions and pushing us to think through every project and opportunity. She was never afraid to add her voice to the mix. It wasn't until a year and a half after we'd started working together that I actually learned Nemesha's age. The day she walked into our goatee, she was just 24 years old. The bottom line is, it didn't matter how old she was. What mattered was what she brought to the table, the perspective she wasn't afraid to share, and the way she was able to dig into our work and truly be a powerful debate partner. She knew Mogul as well as I did, even better at times. Nemesha is now VP of Global Marketing and Mogul Redefined, our consumer products division. And then came Bethany from Texas. I first met her thanks to Rob. About a year after my working with him, he came up to me and said he had someone he wanted me to meet. I have a prophecy that the two of you are going to work together, that you'll be business partners one day. By this time, I trusted Rob and his opinions deeply and couldn't wait to hear whom he wanted me to meet. At the time, Bethany was getting an MFA at Juilliard, I was getting my MBA at Harvard, and Rob thought that the combination of Bethany's creative expertise from Juilliard and my business acumen from Harvard would be the perfect meshing of talents. We met for tea one cold afternoon at Obonpa in Union Square, and right from the start, I could tell we would become good friends. We were both beginning to get our feet in the door in the film industry, and Bethany showcased herself to be someone who was determined and went after what she wanted. At the time, for example, she was performing in a production of The Merchant of Venice starring Al Pacino. She had hustled to get that role. Bethany asked me to accompany her to an event for her friend Anna, an up-and-coming screenwriter, that very week. When we arrived, we learned that Anna was dating a man named Sam, Rob's lyricist on Volley Girls. We then realized that Monica, the producer of Volley Girls, had gone to Juilliard with Bethany, and they had been friends since. Our worlds were highly connected, and that was the first of many industry events that we began to attend together, where our friendships and relationships continued to exponentially grow and deepen. Together, we were offered more meetings and more opportunities, and meeting each other proved an important accelerator in both our personal and professional lives. Rob's prophecy was right. Therefore, Bethany was one of the first calls I made when launching Mogul, and today she is our VP of Global Content and Mogul Studios, our creative agency and content production division. As Bethany came on board, we began to meet at the Hudson Hotel, two blocks away from our goatee. We joked that we were very slowly expanding the perimeter in which we needed to travel. We met each morning inside the library bar of the hotel, stationing ourselves at one of their large chess tables for a full day and night of work ahead. And even though we weren't hotel guests, we hoped we were paying the staff back in a way with all of the Diet Cokes we ordered throughout those following 2 months. One afternoon, about 6 months after launching Mogul, I was walking back home from, quote-unquote, the office, and I saw an advertisement for a new workspace called The Yard, located one block away from my apartment, where ABC News used to be. I met with the owner, Morris, and immediately signed the lease for one of their offices, which ironically enough was called The Library. I'll never forget that moment when we first moved from the library bar to the library. As I looked around the room, I grasped the fact that our company now had an office and team members, a small and mighty team of four. David, Nemesha, Bethany, and me. It had grown from a dream in my mind to a reality in my bedroom, and now into an actual company. Even as I'd made all those pitches and received all those investments, this was the moment when it truly felt tangible. In the months that followed, we continued to expand throughout the yard, securing additional space for our office more than 6 times as we added new team members and became one of their largest tenants. Interestingly, my relationship with S brought me one of my closest friends to this day and the next founding team member of Mogul. I even remember as I was saying goodbye to S, remarking, "I'll really miss hanging out with Yuli." Yuli's former husband was one of S's best friends from Princeton. S and I had hung out with the two of them on 3 separate occasions, one of which was their wedding. It was therefore strange for me to instinctively say I would miss Yuli, because at this point, I still hardly knew her. And out of all of S's friends, we had hung out with them the least. But 2 months went by, and I did not hear from any of S's friends except for, coincidentally, Yuli. She reached out because she had come to love Mogul. She was on our platform every day, starting conversations, as was her sister. They had become super users. At a serendipitous lunch over sushi one day, Yuli asserted her ongoing passion and dedication to the Mogul mission and offered to help in any way. Without hesitation, I offered to bring her on part-time. I developed with her what would initially be a small but vital role, mainly focusing on editing, but Yuli assured me she was up for anything. She wasn't kidding. Even though she had led operations and customer support at different companies across Hungary by the time she was 24, now, years later, she was willing to do anything and everything to help our company grow. I soon learned that if we needed something done, she would immediately teach herself. If we needed video editing, she would teach herself Final Cut Pro. If we needed photos, she became an expert at Photoshop. She would teach herself totally new software just so she could help us in the next task. She rolled her sleeves up and would overdeliver on every single project. She was the definition of a mogul. Within a few months, she joined us full-time. Today, she is our VP of Global Operations and People, overseeing our infrastructure globally. This founding team has truly been with me from the very beginning. I didn't cross my fingers and hope they were good hires. These were people whom I greatly respected, who had proven themselves to me over and over through many months, sometimes years, of collaboration, stepping up whenever something needed to be done. I had no worries that if I had to travel to meet with an investor or a potential partner, they would be able to keep things running. Each of our founding team members represents a different part of me, from David's unending calm and wisdom, to Nemesha's determination and persistent questions, to Bethany's emotional intelligence and relationships, to Yuli's hustle and motivation for continuous improvement. I cannot stress enough how important it is to have the right people surrounding you as you go after your dream. Your company or concept can become even greater if it is in the hands of the right team. Be mutual in your commitments. From the beginning at Mogul, when I first hired people, I would bring them on as consultants for 1 to 3 months before committing to a full-time contract. This allowed everyone to ensure that it was a good fit and that we meshed well as a team before a long-term commitment was made. Obviously, not all industries can work this way, but if there is a way to ask for a trial period before you commit to something full-time, it both allows your employer to make sure that they are happy and shows that you are someone who, when hired full-time, is truly loyal and committed. It shows thoughtfulness, a cautious but committed attitude, and a willingness to check in constantly to make sure that everyone is happy, fulfilled, and communicating about expectations and experiences. Remember, a no is a not right now. But of course, no matter how loyal your team or how strong your relationships, the best scenario doesn't always happen. To become a mogul, you have to be prepared to hear the word no. It is inevitable, no matter what you're going after. But the word no doesn't have to be a fail. First of all, you should be reaching out to so many people, many of whom will say yes, that the one or two little no's don't sting. You stay focused on the yes. When you have reached out to a huge volume of people, you forget the no and move on. Another helpful thing to consider is that the no is just a not right now. Just a few months into Mogul's founding, a startup accelerator reached out to us to see whether we would want to apply to be a part of their program. Startup accelerators are organizations that help startups quickly grow so that they are in a stronger position to go after investor funding. In return for granting a small sum of capital and access to some of their contacts, accelerators usually get a small stake in the company. But they can be very selective in who they take on. We appreciated that this accelerator wanted to consider Mogul, so we went through the application process, the rounds of interviews, and made it to the finals. For the final round, our team walked into this big room, filled with about 20 people, only two of whom were female. David and I gave our pitch and then allowed the room to experience the platform themselves as they scrolled through the site. Everyone seemed impressed and positive, until one person said, what's that? We looked up at the screen, and in the time that we had been giving our pitch, a user had posted a link to a National Enquirer article about a mermaid sighting. Yes, a mermaid sighting. Bethany was also in the room. She and I looked at each other. Before we developed proprietary technology to prevent spam in real time, Bethany and I would regularly scan the new post on the platform in order to ensure that this kind of spam didn't turn up. When she and I caught such posts, we would remove them. But because our entire team at the time was sitting right there in that room during this pitch, obviously no one was monitoring incoming posts. Our positive pitch had now turned into a grilling session. As we walked out of the room, we knew what would have been a yes had turned into a rejection, all because of that mermaid sighting. When we got the email a week later that we didn't get chosen, none of us were surprised. But we didn't find it devastating. We had a lot of momentum even without this accelerator, and we stayed focused on the yeses we were getting. Within a matter of months, we had secured funding not just from Will and Gary, but also from the founders of Comcast and the Knot.com, as well as the heads of MTV, Fortune, Time, NPR, McGraw-Hill Education, Diane von Furstenberg, and the Hearst Corporation. Our snowball was turning into an avalanche of yeses, just as we'd predicted. It turned out that our relationships and friendships, and the excitement that Mogul was generating on its own, were our own kind of accelerator. A year later, out of nowhere, the same accelerator had been tracking our growth and reached out and wanted to invite us to join them. We wouldn't even have to apply. We would automatically be in. They felt like we were the company that got away. But by then, we'd grown much larger and faster than any of their other investments. We didn't need to be a part of their accelerator anymore. The lesson is, when you receive a no, just keep moving forward. There will come a day when those who initially said no to you will come chasing after you, in disbelief at your success. Just ask J.K. Rowling if you need any additional proof. She's said that 12 publishers rejected Harry Potter before one took a chance on her. One of the reasons that I'm good at dealing with no's is that I tend to forget all the no's right away. I joke that I have a bad short-term memory for no's. I look forward, not back, and just move on to the next opportunity. Because at least I learned something, remember? Sometimes, these no's are the best things that happen to you. Those opportunities would have been detours on the path to success that you didn't need to take. Allow those exits to pass by without remorse. Trust that you are headed in the right direction and that more opportunities lie before you. Establish your own board of advisors. The next step for Mogul was to establish the Mogul Board of Advisors, a sounding board and governing body that would allow Mogul to become greater than just our small but mighty team at the time. Advisors would also add another layer of validity and expertise to Mogul and become a rich source of advice when making important decisions. When I envisioned our ideal board of advisors, I thought about every aspect of a media and technology business, such as finance, operations, content, marketing, product, and technology, and tried to think of the one person in the industry that I respected the most in each segment. I then approached that person to be an advisor. As mentioned, I first invited Will, co-founder of Match.com, as an advisor and investor, given his experience in scaling online platforms. Michael Wolfson, co-founder of TheKnot.com and former chief creative officer at AOL, came on board next, given his insights on content creation and distribution. I then invited Kathy Black, former chairman and president of Hearst Magazines, for her expertise in creating iconic brands, as well as Anne Sarnoff, president of BBC Worldwide Americas, and member of the board of directors at PayPal, for her experience in overseeing finance and operations for organizations worldwide. They were soon joined by Jared Dicker, CEO of Poet Foundation, and former head of product and technology at The Washington Post, whose rapid product innovations had fueled the latter's growth post-Amazon acquisition. James Benedict, founding advisor to the Crown Princess of Norway's Maverick Collective, for his contributions towards global social impact, as well as Kevin O'Donohue, former managing partner at BC Partners and Stanford University philanthropist, and Peter Davis, former president of McGraw Education, for their significant contributions to education. The final board member added was Tina Exarhos, chief content officer for Now This Media and former chief marketing officer of MTV, for her pioneering experience in viral marketing. This required another layer of pitching with a slightly different approach. I still kept it very personal, mentioning how invaluable I would consider their involvement, and I often traveled to their offices for the meeting, wanting to emphasize that I knew we would be collaborating closely if they joined this board. Every time a new advisor came on board, it would offer one more layer of opportunity, validity, and proof that Mogul was a company that countless people were getting behind. Soon we had so much momentum from talking about Mogul and what it was doing that we created a secondary advisory board called the Mogul Think Tank, a more informal group of advisors who were such believers in our platform that they wanted to offer their help and expertise as well. Our think tank today consists of 25 women and men who believe greatly in our mission and have been partners in our growth. I can come to the various members depending on what kind of advice I'm looking for or what kind of partner Mogul is currently in need of. Finally, we created a network of Mogul influencers, prominent women and men such as Katie Couric, Nina Garcia, Rebecca Minkoff, Margaret Cho, and more, who were on the Mogul platform and who vowed to spread the word about what we were doing to their own followings. Today, we collaborate with more than 5,000 Mogul influencers who mentor our users, befriend them, and support them. You may not be launching your own company and in need of an official board of advisors, but I nonetheless recommend a personal network of support to help you navigate your career path. Your personal board of advisors could be former managers with whom you've stayed in touch, favorite teachers or professors, and even good friends who you know want the best for you in any and all endeavors. You may consider your mother and father to be an essential support system, or your brother and sister. We can accomplish so much more when we feel that we have people to turn to for advice or just as a sounding board. We can do more, be more, and reach our goals sooner. Together, we can break down any barrier that still stands in our way. Learn to just ask. It is never easy to gather the courage to ask someone to be a part of what you are doing, but you never know what he or she might say unless you ask. I remember when I asked Anne Hidalgo, the mayor of Paris, to be a Mogul influencer. She and her advisors had selected Mogul, along with a few other startups, as a top New York City company, and thus awarded us an office location in Paris as well as other resources to facilitate our expansion in France. She invited me and other founders to meet with her and other members of her cabinet. The Mogul team had already drafted a physical letter to ask her to join our Mogul influencers, and I held it in my lap during the entire session. As we were preparing to leave, I struggled with finding the courage to go up to her and hand her the letter, especially in front of so many others present. But I knew if I didn't, I would always regret it and wonder what she would have said. As the meeting wrapped up, I took a deep breath, gathered my confidence, walked up to her, and said, "Actually, I have a letter for you. I would love to invite you to be a Mogul influencer." and I explained to her what it was. She looked at me warmly, smiled, and said, "Absolutely." It was that easy. The worst that could happen is that they say no, and you move on. Either way, you'll always feel better knowing that you tried. That one moment of rejection is a lot shorter and less painful than the years of regret you might feel for not asking. It is the greatest feeling to have a broad basis of support. When you have others who are supporting you, you no longer feel like you are alone in the driver's seat. Now you have passengers able to provide inputs and advice when needed. Not to mention, these people came with their own network of relationships and ideas that will allow your reach to expand even more. What is truly amazing is being able to join with the right people on the journey, people who will spur you to become better and stronger and aim higher and farther. When you have the right people by your side, you become poised to launch into the next stratosphere. Hashtag, you are a mogul. To strive for success means you have to be able to communicate who you are, why you are the one for the job, and why people should join you in your endeavor. Make them realize how much they will be missing if they don't join you. In the end, have the confidence to know that you are going places with or without them. Hashtag I am a mogul by Simone de la Rue, founder of Body by Simone and celebrity trainer on Revenge Body. The success of Body by Simone has surpassed even my expectations. Sometimes I look around and can't believe what the business has evolved into. I was a professional dancer for 18 years, and that was my first true love. I watched some of my younger colleagues taken down by injuries early in their careers, and knew I had a set of techniques that had kept me injury-free over the years. I wanted to create a place where women could come to feel strong and sexy, where they could come to connect with their bodies and themselves. I initially started with a small number of loyal celebrity clients who were thrilled with the results and spread the word. After a client who appreciated and believed in my vision invested $100,000, the business grew from personal training to 40 employees, tens of thousands of devotees, and studios in both New York and Los Angeles. I never anticipated how rapidly the company would grow. Having not gone to college, I relied on my intuition and curious mindset to drive business decisions. It proved essential to take each step carefully, be highly reactive to clients' feedback, and build the company piece by piece, decision by decision. It didn't happen overnight, but our loyal clients' endorsements helped to create rapid growth in the business early on. Staying true to my intuition and vision for the company was incredibly important to me. I even took the risk of buying out an initial partner to allow the business to continue organic growth in a specific direction. I know now that it was thanks to being true to who I am and my vision for Body by Simone that allowed it to take off and reach more people than I ever imagined. I don't feel like I have reinvented the wheel. It's just exercise, right? But the fact that I get to help women across the country focus on their health and believe that they deserve to take the time to feel good and connect with their body is the greatest compensation I could ever ask for.
Chapter 8. Ride the Rocket Ship. Mogul is frequently portrayed in the media as a rocket ship, though you've since learned, of course, how hard we had to work to get there. We are often asked, how did you rise so far so fast? I believe it has been thanks to a commitment to stay true to ourselves, remain focused on our vision, and ultimately, to always circle back to our mission, or why we built Mogul in the first place. We didn't do everything perfectly, but we stayed focused on what we were doing, and more important, why we were doing it. Rather than thinking about the long road before us, we took it step by step, opportunity by opportunity, always remembering that we were the ones in the driver's seat. When you think like an entrepreneur, you see each and every moment as a chance to accelerate, to grow faster than you ever thought possible. And you have to keep moving forward, no matter what. These are the guidelines I used for growth, trusting my gut, and always knowing we were heading in the right direction. I hope they can help you and your career to take off quickly and go farther than you ever imagined. The three C's: communication, collaboration, and celebration. As we began to scale beyond our initial team members, we moved our headquarters to Hearst Tower at Columbus Circle, next door to Argosy and the Hudson Hotel. We were right back where we started, only now with a library of our own and a view of Central Park. We realized we had a real opportunity to create the kind of workplace culture that is too often missing in the corporate world. The culture that we've created today has most definitely contributed to our incredible growth. I really do not believe we would have achieved what we have without it. And as a result of our creating this culture, not one single person resigned from Mogul for the first 4 years. Okay, I'm sure as this book is released, someone will quit, thus nullifying that statement. I probably shouldn't even put it in the book, since it is something that is bound to happen over time as we are expected to triple in size this year. But this is something that I am proud of thus far, and I like to think that it has to do with a culture at Mogul that we've worked really hard to cultivate. A culture of kindness, compassion, and understanding. A culture where we don't have to keep personal lives separate, where we strive to create friendships, not just colleagues. You can bring all of yourself into the Mogul offices, not just part of who you are. This focus has led not only to happy team members, but to the growth that has kept Mogul going. Just as women make up 80% of our platform, women also make up 80% of our leadership team. We provide unlimited vacation, unlimited sick days, and unlimited remote days. Because when you trust your team members, you don't worry about them abusing those privileges. I know that each and every person who works at Mogul loves her or his job and believes in the mission. And if they need to take some time off to recharge, we trust them. If they are too sick to come into the office, we trust them. If they believe they will be more efficient accomplishing something from home, we trust them. And they trust us, that we have their backs. We provide strong health benefits and subsidized gym memberships. We provide free dinners and free cars back home for anyone still at the office after 10 p.m. to ensure safety. We regularly issue raises and bonuses throughout the year for reaching goals, without waiting for annual reviews. Through a cutting-edge system we developed called the Mogul Individual Performance System, or MIPS. The system has been highly tailored to each team member in order to help guide and support them across each aspect of their role, and in turn reward them. The benefits of having team members who feel valued and supported far outweigh the costs that these perks carry. We also regularly consider each team member's personal passions that they might have otherwise conducted as a side hustle, and we aim to incorporate these as added responsibilities in their professional day-to-day role. Again, if you had to keep your personal and professional life separate, I wouldn't know that you happen to be a skilled photographer in your off hours, or that you often MC at the comedy club down the street. These skills can be incorporated into your job at Mogul, allowing for further acceleration of your career. We strive to nurture our team members' talents and encourage them in all aspects of their lives. Melinda Gates wrote that we are still sending our daughters into companies designed for our dads. We are thankful that isn't the case with Mogul. Mogul was built to support women around the world externally, through an all-inclusive culture internally. It isn't afraid to challenge the status quo for what a startup should look like or how a leader should act. The more of us who are willing to do this, to demand a workplace culture that respects women and their way of working in the world, the quicker we will rise, the more female leaders will come into power, and the more authentic we will all feel in our careers. There are three values that set us apart in our office culture, and that I strive to keep in mind as I focus on what Mogul should be. I call them the three C's: communication, collaboration, and celebration. Communication. We believe in absolute transparency and real-time feedback in our offices. My door is always open, and I encourage our team members to come to me about anything. If you feel like you have to hide what is truly going on with you at work, you can't truly be your authentic self. I believe that when you can bring all of who you are into the workplace, you will be able to do your best work. When you bring your entire, authentic self to work each day, you can thrive personally and professionally. This lack of hindrance enables creativity and new ideas to emerge that greatly serve the company. Throughout the day, I'm constantly walking around the offices, talking to people. What more can I do to support you today? How are things going? I strive to stay involved in the day-in, day-out of the functioning of Mogul. I don't want to be sequestered in an office on my computer or in meetings all day. I want to be accessible, available, and supportive all day, every day. If we've brought someone onto the Mogul team, it is because we value the insights he or she brings to the table. So when I'm in a meeting and each of the executive team members has shared their thoughts, and I see someone at the table who is more junior who hasn't spoken up, I try to encourage them to join the conversation. Lauren, you always have a useful perspective. What do you think? Usually that little nudge, combined with something complimentary, will give them the courage to speak up. And I've often found that they respond with the most eloquent solutions that they had already come up with in their head, but just hadn't had the nerve to share. As a leader, you want to ensure that every voice is heard. You want to nurture the talent that you have brought into the workplace. You want to encourage ideas, out-of-the-box thinking, and the willingness to think of a new perspective. Admit to mistakes. One tool I have used when discussing feedback with a team member is if a miscommunication occurred, and a lack of management may have contributed to this miscommunication, I'm always upfront about that, and I apologize for whatever mistake was made. I find that being upfront about how management might have been unclear leads the conversation to go more smoothly, because it eliminates any defensiveness your team member might have that would prevent them from even hearing what you are saying. By addressing that issue upfront, you accelerate your way to a solution. This works both ways. To get a conversation off to a great start, you too may want to admit to how you might have contributed to a problem so as to immediately move into problem-solving mode. Your coworkers will appreciate your willingness to admit to fallibility and will be more likely to want to collaborate again. Collaboration. Obviously, by now, you know I believe in collaboration. I believe that two minds coming together, bringing their various experiences and perspectives into one room, is the most powerfully creative thing in the world. I have worked in organizations that were hierarchical, where there was a clear delineation between the supervisors and the worker bees. I was so appreciative when someone higher on the totem pole would bring me under their wing, allow me into meetings, and give me experiences that taught me so much and allowed me to collaborate with them. But those people were the exception, not the rule. At Mogul, whether you are a senior leader or a direct report, everyone collaborates as equals, as partners. Another way we strive to stay collaborative is by never eating alone. Each meal can be an opportunity to connect with someone new and create further collaborations and synergies across projects and initiatives. Every day I take a different team member out for breakfast or lunch to connect with them on a personal and professional level, and everyone else is encouraged to do the same. Beyond meals, we have weekly meetings so that we can stay aware of where people need support. On Mondays, I meet with our executive team. On Wednesdays, I meet with every department, back-to-back, in 45-minute time slots. This midweek check-in allows us to refocus on goals, any new opportunities, and our mission. Once a month, we have a Monday town hall when everyone in the company gets together to collaborate on our most challenging initiatives. We also have regular lunch and learn sessions where different departments take turns sharing the expertise or industry insights with the remaining departments, again to increase potential for collaboration as every team member enhances their learning. Mogul also provides annual reimbursement for coursework a team member wishes to take online or in person for this purpose. If a team member hopes to incorporate these newfound skills into their role, we highly encourage it and find a feasible way to do so, in order to continuously weave team members' personal passions into their day-to-day roles and ensure everyone feels personally and professionally fulfilled. Celebration. At Mogul, we work hard, and we celebrate when things go well. When you look for the good, you find more comes your way. We therefore share wins in real time across the company, via an internal channel called hashtag wins. From morning to night, anyone who has a win can post an announcement that allows the rest of the company to cheer along with that person. This creates ongoing minute-by-minute momentum and high morale throughout the day and week. By the time we reach Friday evening, before everyone departs for the weekend, we celebrate our weekly wins. Each member of the company shares what went well that week, whether it is a milestone achieved, a new account or client, a goal set and accomplished, or a creative idea they are most proud of from that week. This not only allows our team members to feel a sense of accomplishment, but lets the different departments of our company recognize how we are all part of a whole and how essential each department is to our success. We don't just celebrate professional wins either. Quite frequently, team members will use their moment to share, to instead highlight another team member and commend a selfless action they had secretly noticed from the week, an interaction they deemed to be kind, authentic, and generous. This atmosphere of constant celebration and success just breeds more celebration and success. And having such a positive meeting at the end of the week means people go into the weekend encouraged and excited about the next week to come, especially when we toast using the fourth C, champagne. Celebration continues throughout each month and quarter thanks to the efforts of our Mogul Turnt Club, a cross-department committee formed to strengthen our bonds. They help us celebrate birthdays and organize team outings, including our annual retreat to a city of significance to Mogul, as voted on by the company. Each June, we also celebrate our anniversary, which in recent years has included unlimited shopping sprees at Barnes & Noble to encourage continued reading and learning. Finally, for team members who celebrate 5 years at Mogul, they may fly to any library of their choice in the world, as a nod to Mogul's historical journey from the library bar to the library and our continued social impact on education worldwide. I know that staying focused on these three C's has helped our culture stay consistent and has helped us focus on how to lead our team in the best way possible. When you have these touchstones, you can refocus over and over, making sure you stay on track. What are your touchstones? When you think about the kind of company you want to run or the kind of company you want to work for, what values come to mind? If you could list three things that are most important to you when you are looking for a culture fit for a workplace, what would they be? Culture fit is extremely important in your overall happiness at work. There are times when, no matter what the job looks like on paper, if the culture doesn't fit with your values and what encourages the best work out of you, you're going to feel a mismatch. Just like in a dating relationship, not everyone is going to be a perfect fit. And we can sometimes waste the best years of our lives at a place that isn't building us up, but is sucking us dry. While experience is important, to feel 100% valued and fulfilled at work, you've got to find a place that is a cultural fit as well. Discover what traits breed success. One way to know whether someone or someplace is a cultural fit for you is to determine what traits you value the most in an employee or a team member. Do you value ambition and the hustler mentality? Do you value a collaborative spirit or creative thinking? Do you value dedication to the task? Someone who will stick with a problem and work at it until it is solved? All of these are valuable traits that will be most of service to different people and various industries. I've learned that for me, I look for people who are kind, authentic, and generous, willing to collaborate, and who love to learn. And also someone who is dedicated not just to making money, but to making a difference. Those traits were always foremost in my mind when it soon became time to add additional members to Mogul, beyond our founding team. I also ensured that I had someone in charge of human resources very early on. As Yuli became full-time, she soon assumed the role of head of HR when it came time to add additional team members. It is highly unusual for a startup to have a head of HR as team member number 4, but I knew that creating the right culture and hiring the right people was just as important as finding the right investors and building momentum. Our hiring process today has 4 rounds. The first round involves direct sourcing, resume reviews, and an initial phone interview between the candidate and the hiring manager or an HR team member. The second round involves inviting the candidate to do an assignment, through which they can showcase their talent and passion for Mogul. The third round involves an in-person meeting with both the hiring manager and an HR team member. The hiring manager is looking for raw talent, someone who is smart, sharp, and willing to go the extra mile.